and start singing some of those songs. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the new day. Thank the Lord for life and health and strength. And pray you please, Lord, for your good hand upon us, that you would be one of our number, that you would minister to us, that you would just give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, too, for your Son, Christ Jesus, and for the great salvation that you have sent our way. Please, Lord, I pray you be with all of us, your children, at this time. Please bless us and keep us and instruct us and guide us and direct us. And forgive us, Lord, where we've let you down, and cleanse us and refresh us. We just ask all this, Lord, and of course for our private prayer requests, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin in the big book with number 259. 259 in the big book is Jesus Saves.
259?
Yes, indeed. 259.
We were the enemy. really wasn't. You really wasn't going to sleep for another 15 minutes.
Come on ahead then, sir.
Only if they got caught me, I'll still sleep.
Aye, the wife thing.
That's good timing.
Crazy, the wife thinks of it.
Car comes in stealth and arms up here. Are you heading off again after you do the reading?
Yeah. Turn us into the book of Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife the daughter of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram of the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee. Thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, and God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram, Laban son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram, take a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. Esau seeing that the daughter of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. And when Esau issued unto Israel and took unto the wife which he had, Mahal, the daughter of Ishmael, and Abraham's son, the sister Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, till the sun was set. And he took up a stone of the place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereunto thou liest, to thee will I give, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in a place for which thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gates of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning, stone he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And they called the name of the place Bethel, for the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob bowed a bow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this place, in this way, that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, that all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen.
see you again. I was so busy having a chuckle at that I sat down with my hymnbook instead of my Bible. But I just saw a very interesting verse. I don't know if you noticed it there, that whenever that little bit is called Jacob's Ladder. I'm sure you've heard of that before, but God reiterated his promise to Jacob that he would bless him and his seed. So Abraham, he said he would bless his seed, and then to Jacob he reiterated that promise. So it is not through the Muslim side of things, it is through the Jewish side of things that we are blessed and helped. Anyway, thank you for that. It's good to see you. I was beginning to get a bit concerned. It's not like him that we don't hear from you, but we're glad to see you here. Glad to see everybody.
Thank you, Holly. Next time to see you.
Take an extra treat for us.
Yes, indeed. Just want everyone to remember, first of all, a happy new year, especially. A happy 2024, and I pray that it is, but I know there's a lot going on. Does anybody have any prayer requests that they'd like to add to this prayer list? I have my pen and I'm ready to write it down. That's okay. I have. Anybody any thanks?
Well, could I have one for John?
John McClelland and yes. Jim Jackson.
Jim, yes.
Have them down here from the last day then. That's fine. Well, as you might have noticed, I am here this evening. I didn't fall off the roof twice. So we were out this morning and we were out yesterday morning. I've got most, if not all, of the holes in the roof patched up. And believe you me, there were quite a few. Some of them were just nail holes, but that's all it takes for rain to come in. So we're glad of that. I'm very glad of that. Maybe one or two wee bits and pieces of things still to do, but things are much better in the Bradfield's barn. So I appreciate your prayers for safety. As you know, my dad, I was going to say my dad's 91, and the man behind him had a birthday there just a couple of days ago. So happy belated birthday again. We made sure that my dad got up onto the ladder and was looking over the roof, and I got a picture and sent it to my sister because she loves it whenever dad is up on roofs and up ladders. So the man's doing rightly too.
What's your temperature on?
Which he could be doing with the bad weather. But anyway, Frank got home, or to his other home. So everything went well there. Norman made it. We're glad of that. John too. Please pray for Will and Christine and Mary Ann, Pat and Steve. And say a wee word for Colin whenever you can. We haven't heard from him since a few days ago when we invited him to church. So please pray for Colin. In the meantime, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And then we'll say a quick prayer and then we'll concur. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of your many helps, for all of your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for making good on your word so many times, for the preservation of Israel at this particular time. Thank you, Lord, for just bringing to my attention that wee verse about the blessings that you have heaped upon Israel, and I pray that you would continue to do so. We know the way things are going to go in, because you've written them down in your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, even now that you would protect individuals. I know the Bible refers to races and it refers to types of people, but when it comes right down to it, Lord, it's a very personal faith and it's about individuals. Lord, thank you for safety on the roof. Thank you for bringing Norman safely out. I pray for Pat and Steve. We look forward to having them on Sunday mornings again now that the holiday schedule for dialysis is over. We pray for Will too. He's back treading the mill up and down to Belfast. So pray for him as well, safety as he travels. For Colin and bringing him back home, that's his life spared. For bringing Frank home as well. But I pray, Lord, as the year opens and goes on, we will have many opportunities to talk to folks about the return.
We know all of the people, Lord, that stand in positions of power, and you know their hearts, Lord. I pray even now that for all the things that they have done in private to bring about rack and ruin in people's lives, Lord, that you would work in their lives publicly. Lord, please oppose those that hate you, and please bless those that love you. Please protect the Jews, Lord, wherever it is they might be, and please convict people of sin and judgment to come. We want to see souls saved for its everlasting future. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two. We'll try number 24 next, hymn number 24 in the wee black book that you, Mrs. Bradfield. That is He Set Me Free. I think it was this one and another one that has since been removed called O Holy Night. That, and if it gives you a bit of an idea of how long ago that was Billy, Steve, me and Christy. We all sang it from the front of the church. And you're probably glad that we don't do that anymore. Hymn number 24, He Set Me Free.
Thank you.
for a little bit to take your Bibles out this evening and turn to the book of Numbers with me. The book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 21, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I'd like to read the first 9 verses of this portion of God's Word. Bring you a little thought right away from the Old Testament about the great salvation that God has prepared and executed for us. The title for the message is God's Way is the Best Way. God's Way is the Best Way. Numbers 21, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. The Word of God says, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, this manna that God sent. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Amen. Amen. God's way is the best way. The last 2 verses are our text this evening, and we're speaking, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be here. Please bless this time in your scripture. Give us a little bit more, Lord, with which to go out into this world, surer and joyful, more joyful. Thank you for loving us. Please be with absent brethren. For those that's not feeling the best, I pray that you would recover them. And for those that, Lord, are going through tough times, I pray that you would, Lord, let your presence be felt in their lives. For those that are lost, Lord, please convict of sin and judgment. We love you and praise you, and we ask this in our private prayer requests. And Lord, we offer up our thanks for all the many helps. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your word. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the very first service of 2024. You could say that this is a beginning of services. And I hope that you've enjoyed, or at the very least, that you've had a little bit of rest over the past week. I very much find it to be a bit like that desert place that the Lord took the disciples away from the hustle and bustle so that they could rest a while. That desert place being Christmas Day and Boxing Day and New Year's Day and maybe a day or two here and there. Although, to be honest, hand and heart, it's not been so much of a desert place that I've been at, it's more like a dessert place. With chocolate cake,
gooseberry pie, mince pies, Christmas cake, although I have to cut the marzipan and the icing off. I think I'll be just minding what I eat for a day or two over the next, over the next week or two. But anyway, this is one of the many accounts of the ups and downs of the lives of the children of Israel as they were come to the promised land. This is, give or take, about 4,000 years ago. Moses is God's chosen leader of the children of Israel, and he has been leading the children of Israel across the wilderness. Now, if you were to look at the map, the children of Israel, lock, stock, and barrel, could have been across the desert, some people reckon, in as little as a couple of months, at the very most. But the Lord had them walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He made sure they were fed. He made sure they were watered. He made sure that their clothes never wore out, because a lot of them gurned. And we can even see here, they still gurn, even after all of the victories, literally. If God stood before you in a pillar of fire by night, you might be impressed enough to not gurn whenever he asked you to do something. And if you went by day, a pillar of cloud went before you, you might think, well, there's God. I'd better be on my best behavior and make it such that my best behavior is my normal behavior. But the children of Israel, they didn't. And to be honest with you, we're not that much different from them. So the Lord said, it'll take 40 years, but everyone that whined at being saved from Egypt will die. Whether it's in battle, whether it's in old age, but all the gurners will be gone. You would think that would give some people pause for thought. And they would think, well, God is just threatening to kill us if we gurn. I'm going to stop gurning. But no, that wasn't the case. What is it they were missing? They were missing their central heating. They were missing their McDonald's. They were missing their comfy couches. Not what it said. That's saying here. It says, why have you brought us up to Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And there was all of those things there. And so, for all those diehards who were going to die hard, the Lord sent a plague of fiery serpents among the people, and many of them died. So there came a bit whenever they said, well, do you know what? We've fought against God. We're losing. No matter where we go. And I can guarantee you, every single person that died was a gurner and a whiner, and refused to listen to God, because God doesn't make mistakes. So those that had an opportunity to repent, to change their ways, they came to Moses and said, please, Moses, we don't want to die. Talk to God for us. So God said to Moses, make a brass serpent, stick it in a pole, and raise it up in the center of the camp, so that anyone that gets bitten, when they look at the pole, the serpent in the pole, they'll be saved. Have you ever heard of someone being stiff-necked? It's in the Bible. It basically means you can't work with them. I guarantee you that if my life was on the line and I had to look at a brass fiery serpent on a pole, even if I had lockjaw, I would find a way to move my whole body round to look at that flaming fiery serpent, because I wouldn't want to die. And I know you know where we're going with this. Now, this is the way people work. I am sure there were people that were more talented woodworkers than Moses. I'm sure there were when it came to getting that pole. And I am sure there were more intricate metal workers than Moses whenever it came to making that fiery serpent. And there may even have been a more picturesque location to put that fiery serpent up on the pole. But these were God's instructions. They were simple, they were straightforward, and the Lord said, when you do it my way, you'll be saved. It's that straightforward. Anyone that's bitten, turn and look at the serpent on the pole, and you will be saved. There will be a supernatural work that will take place in your body. The venom will be neutralized, and you will be saved. Now, more than 1,000 years later, Jesus referred back to this. And he referred to himself, and we'll read the scripture in just a minute, it's from John chapter 3, and that's some of the best verses in the Bible. He said that he would be like that serpent, lifted up, so that if men would look to him, they would live. Hence the song, Look and Live. Read you a few verses, John 3:13. It says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is nothing new. I am presuming, after a little bit of fellowship with everybody, that you're all saved. It's not a new teaching. But I'm going to tell you something. It is one that is very easily buried, even in our Christian lives. Lives. I am sure if you got a peek into the minds of people over the past week and a half or 2 weeks, it would be like white noise. It would be like the TV volume turned up full with three other channels that have YouTube and Facebook and some video player all playing at the same time with everything running through their heads. And many people just looking forward to an hour before bed where they can sit down for a cup of tea and put their feet up and not think of anything. And we're still human. And we still get busy. And it is very easy to forget that whenever we look too closely at things and get too engrossed in things. Doesn't matter what they are. As the Lord spoke of the salvation that he was to bring, he said these things. At least the Word of God says these things in Romans chapter 8. This is how simple it is. In Romans 10 and verse number 9, this is what the Word of God says. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, speak the words, tell God you're sorry for your sins, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. In other words, believe that Christ gave his life on the cross for each of our sins, and then was raised back to life victorious, thou shalt be saved. That sounds even easier than turning around to look at a serpent on a pole. Because it's all in your mind. It's a decision that you have to make, but it has very real and good for you changes in your life. The Bible goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In a nutshell, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, please save me. I'm sorry for my sins. Please save me. Now I know, because I have spoken to so many, and even very recently, there are people that are trying to tell you something else that maybe sounds better. Because you know what we're like. Everybody loves a bargain. Or even better, everybody loves a present. But sometimes it can be difficult for people to accept something that's done for them. And they want to do something for it so that they can say, oh, I did. You know what somebody said? If God charged even 10 pence for salvation, and everybody was able to pay that 10 pence. And even if people couldn't, I am sure people would reach into their pockets and pull out tenors and 20s and 50s to make sure the people all around them got saved. Do you know what people would say when we got to heaven? That was a great salvation that I bought, God. But you see, it's not bought. It is given. God paid for it all. His pockets are so deep that he doesn't require anything from us but a repentance of our sin. That's all it takes. Some people say you have to be in church to get to heaven. Like the door to the church is the door to heaven. It's not. I'm telling you here, it's not. I'm still the passing away of that neighbor of Billy's and a friend of many years. After many, many times speaking to them about their soul, shows you that the door to the church is not the door to heaven. The door to the church is a door to a building. Someone had obviously sold her on something better than Jesus and the saving of his life, and she was determined that she had rejected Jesus her whole life, and she was going to take her oil. And that's still heavy on my mind. Sometimes it appeals to people's pride. Jesus did 95% of the work. All you have to do is the last 5%. The money that you put in the plate, church attendance, your singing, your helping out, that's all that it takes for you to get to heaven. That's still far too much that you have been asked to do. I know the Catholic Church says you have to. Is it all 7 sacraments for you to get into heaven? And you can't do them all, because holy orders and matrimony are in direct contravention to each other. Some people may make these things look and sound good. I want to tell you about a man that looked and sounded really good in the Bible. His name was Lucifer. And the Bible records a description of Lucifer as being covered with all manner of precious stones and music being built into him. Now, I have heard people play music. My dad is an excellent player. Monica is an excellent player. I've heard her mum and her sisters play. I have heard my dad. I don't know if anybody saw that thing called piano that was on over the past year about these piano prodigies that literally only have to hear the music and they can play it perfectly. I want for you to know that is not me. All of my piano skill is probably in a little chip and a keyboard somewhere. The devil is better than all of those people. And he could literally sell snow to the Eskimos. And he sold sin to 1/3 of God's angels and made them fall. And if he is that good about convincing men, because angels are masculine, convincing men, angels, to reject the God that they have looked upon every day of their lives. It's not going to take too much to convince you and me to do the same, is it? The devil's a liar and a thief, and he has been from the very beginning. Anyway, the devil makes the gospel sound very unattractive, and he makes sin sound very attractive. Just in the same way that much of the press is making many of the people that love their countries and want to do the best for their countries and the people in them, make them sound like the devil themselves. And make these people that are doing nothing else but robbing them blind sound like the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not. I want for you to know when sin bites and your life starts to slip away. And it can at very short notice, friend. It is only faith in Christ alone as your Savior that will save you. You don't even have to turn your head. Just turn your heart. That is the promise of God. And I know that you are all saved. But I just want for you to remember. And everything else, and all the fuss and things that's going on in the world, I want for you to remember that Jesus gave his life for you on the cross. I'm not done yet. I want your attention for just a few more minutes. A lot of people know that. Oh, I got saved when I was little. I was 23 years old when I got saved. I got saved after nearly 20 years of being stupid and doing things the wrong way in this world. Being a spoiled pup. And Monica would say I still am. And by the sound of my dad's laugh, I'm assuming he thinks the same. And Norman, you're smiling too much. Don't you be smiling, John.
I didn't mean to do that.
Anyway. Here's the second verse that made the biggest difference in my life. Because I remember, even as a Christian, not being taught, seeking the Lord. And I came to Bethel. And after a few weeks, maybe a month or so in Bethel, I read these verses. Because up until this time, people said to me, well, you've been in pubs. You've got a girlfriend. You take the Lord's name in vain. You curse and you swear. Surely a Christian can't be doing those things. And I come in this morning, I think it was a Sunday. Pastor Fox preached this message from these verses. John chapter 10. Verses that changed my life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is the promise from the very lips of God Almighty, incarnated in the flesh, recorded by men that loved him and love us, so that we could not worry about losing our salvation, because you can't. It says nothing, no one, no circumstance, no accident, no scheme against you, no matter where it comes from, can take your salvation away, because it's up to God. That have to be bigger and stronger than God Almighty himself. A lot of people think the devil is the opposite to God. He's not. The devil is like a slightly more powerful version of us. He's smart. He's immortal. He's been around for at least 6,000 years. He's the silver-tongued devil, because he convinced the angels to follow him. The promise means that no man, woman, or child, even the devil himself, and the devil is referred to as a man in Isaiah 14. Is this the man that caused the nations to tremble? Art thou also become weak like us? He can't take that away. Your soul is sealed. Your hope in heaven is secure. In 1 John, it says, when God looks at us, we have no sin. We are as sure for heaven as if we were standing there right now. I know it's old news, but I know 2024 is going to come with a lot, a whole bunch of challenges that people's not ready for, especially Christians. And we need to remember that we're saved and we're kept by God Almighty. I think we spoke the other day about Jesus Christ being the author and finisher of our salvation. He started your salvation the day you admitted your sin and turned away from it and turned to him as Savior. And he will keep that in the palm of his hand. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit inside, till the day that you don't need that anymore, until your sin nature is gone and you're standing in your glorified body. Don't forget what God has done for you and continues to do for you, because he's not done with you. You're still his child. And remember that even, I was going to say, these dolphins, and there are plenty of them, that seem to be riding high, mocking God, poking fun at those that love him, indulging themselves in every part of their lives, and seemingly getting away with it, they're still on the way to hell. And they're not kidding anybody but themselves. And you also need to know that even on your worst day, you are still a son of the King of Kings and the Most High God. You still have his ear. You still have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You still have Jesus Christ, yours and my Savior, interceding for you at the right hand of God. You still have angels dispatched to you to help you day by day. And I was going to say, you still have me on your phone. I don't know whether that's a plus or a minus, but I'm still at the other end of the phone. I'm more than happy to come and pray with you and help you out best I can. On your worst day, with the world coming down around your ears, you are still on the road that leads to heaven. You're still going there. God loves each and every one of us and all the people out there in the world. So in case you're looking at 2024 with a little bit of extra time and wondering what you're going to do, the Lord said, if you like being saved and you love the God that keeps helping you out and giving you a leg up and pointing in the right direction, maybe somebody else would like to hear it too. Don't forget to tell somebody. But like I said, it's for you personally and right now, and until the day that you stand in front of God, you're saved completely. And you're as ready for heaven as if you were standing there right now. And the Lord is determined to give you a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. So don't forget that. Don't forget that. Amen. Thank you for your good time and attention. I appreciate it. God bless you. Somebody requested Thine Be the Glory. I think that's number 10 in the Wee Black Books, number 10. If you're fit and able, we'll sing Thine Be the Glory. We don't often do an altar call, but if you need to get anything right with God, and you need to sit and pray or come up to the front and pray at any time, just do it. And get whatever the Lord is talking to you about sorted out. And if you need prayer after the service, I'm more than happy to pray with. Come number 10. Let's stand as we sing Thine Be the Glory.
Oh.
you all very much. God bless you. Hope you have a good further start to 2024. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your house. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Let us remember always that you have us safe and secure in the palm of your hand, and that we can never lose our salvation. Just thank you for loving us in this little bit of time set aside from the world. Father, please don't be done with us. Please keep your good hand upon us, Lord, and let us know. Please save souls at every level of society, Lord. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask all of these things as well as private prayer requests. Please fight ahead of us, Lord, and show us the steps to take. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.